I know it's not the size of our wallet, because... Good morning, everyone. Is it still morning? Yes, it is. A lot of things went on this morning that I didn't expect. So let me go real quick. First of all, that song that you were talking about, Rich, These Are the Days of Elijah, I can recall vividly the first time I heard that song. There used to be a place called the Holy Land in Florida, and it was a Christian amusement park. And when it was going full flush, you could go to Holy Land and there'd be 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 people in the park. And they used to have a song celebration. The first time I heard that song, if you can imagine an amusement park full of Christians singing, "These Are the Days of Elijah." Man, whew, got me going. Okay. So, now, secondly, I'd like to just thank everyone. I know people are a little curious about the health. I am doing very well, praise the Lord. I get better every day. The one thing that I have come to realize is that as I strive to get back to normal, that's not going to happen. I have a new normal, and I have to work on that. But praise and thank you for your prayers and your interest. And pray for me to lose 20 pounds. Praise the Lord. Okay. I don't think I can do it by myself, so I'm going to need prayer. John 14 and 15. And I didn't give that to you, so don't worry about it. Says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Okay? How many of Jesus' disciples are in this room? Don't raise your hand. If you're a disciple of Jesus, this is Jesus talking to you. Jesus said, "If you love me, do my commandments." Do you love Jesus? Follow his commandments. Okay, upstairs, here we're going to go. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 8. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 8. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be done in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee. Please remember that these are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's talking to you and me. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we would ask that as we look into it today, that we all would receive a blessing from it, and that we would live a better life for thee. Now, the first part of this message, I have to be very honest, is for believers only. I have something to say to those who don't believe, and I will get to that. But this part of the message are for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, what are alms? We just read it, A-L-M-S. What are alms? It's not, don't raise your hand because I'm not going to call on you. I'm going to give you the answer. Alms are charitable contributions to the poor. Did you know you were supposed to do that? This is Jesus talking to his people. Jesus says, take heed that you do not your alms before men. This is not tithing. This is not tithing. We tithe on Sunday morning. We give to the Lord according to how he has blessed us. This is not an offering or a sacrifice to the Lord. Jesus is talking specifically about alms. That is the process by where Christian people make an effort to give to the poor. Okay? This is nothing new. This was part of the commandments that God gave to the children of Israel. Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. Okay, I'm going to turn you to it. Okay. And this is Leviticus. This is the God commanding the children of Israel. And when you reap your harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. 10. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard, for thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. This is a commandment to the children of Israel. This is normal practice among the children of Israel to, when they, as farmers, they were an agricultural society, when they picked up their crops, they were instructed to make sure that there was something left for the poor. And the poor expected this. So that after the crops had been picked up, they went out and collected it. Leviticus 23 and verse 22 repeats it. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make a clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest it. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. God is commanding us as believers, he was commanding the children of Israel, to make sure that they take care of the poor. In James 1 and 27, and now this is a very interesting verse, James 1 and 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James is writing that pure religion is the exercising of alms. And I'm banging away at this because I don't think we do it enough, and therefore we don't do it enough. We don't speak about it enough, therefore we don't do it enough. In Luke 12 and 33, giving alms, sell what you have and give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. And if you don't know what that saying is, that when you give alms, you build up a treasure in heaven. When you give alms, you build up a treasure in heaven. In Acts 10, the writer writes, and when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? That was someone being visited by the Lord, and the Lord said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. You want to have a memorial before God? You need to pray and give alms. That's not my words. I didn't say that. Brother Grant is not that smart. That's the word of God right there. It says you want to have a memorial before God? You need to pray and you need to give alms. So what are we talking about here? These alms. We know what alms is. That's when we, as believers, make a provision for the poor. And we give it. But look what Jesus says about this. He says, when thou doest. You see that in verse 3? But when thou doest, it doesn't say, if thou doest. Amen? It doesn't say if you give alms. It says when you give alms, which is an indication that there's an expectation that you will give. There is an expectation by God and by Jesus that his followers will perform the ritual of alms, setting aside things that God has given you, has provided you, for people who are less fortunate. And then he asks, and he tells you to give it in the proper manner. And this is real close. Okay? Because he tells you what not to do first. He said, don't give it so that everybody knows that you're giving. That's hypocritical. Because then, if that's what you're doing, you're really not doing it because Christ told you to do it. You're doing it because you're looking for people to pay attention to you. And God says, when you do that, you get your own reward. Because when you do that out in the open, people look at you, they pay attention to you, and that's all you're going to get out of the situation. You're going to get people's attention. But you're not going to get the reward that God would have for you had you done it in secret. Don't do it so that you would be noticed. That's hypocrisy. Number one, do it out of agape. Everybody know what agape is? What is agape? Somebody yell it out. Love. No. No, it's not. It's not love. It's unconditional love. It's not unconditional love. It's not. I keep preaching this every time I get up here. Love is not love unconditionally. Love is a spiritual concern for other people. It's spiritual. It's of God. It has nothing to do with the other person. I love my wife because she's wonderful. She's beautiful. She takes care of me. She feeds me. And that's why I love her. But agape is when you love, when you are concerned about people who have nothing to do with you. But you do it because you're a child of God. That's where agape comes from. That's how God loves us. We don't have anything to offer to God. There's nothing that we have to give to God that God can say, man, I wish I had one of those. Everything we have, God gave us. But God loves us. And he's concerned for us. How do we know that? Because he sent his son to die for us. We celebrated this morning that the fact that Jesus died so that we no longer are at war with God, we are at peace with God. That's God's demonstration of his love for us. Do it as a commandment from God in Christ. You know, everything that Jesus tells you to do is a commandment. Have you figured that out yet? If Jesus tells you to do something, it's a commandment. And what did I say? If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Jesus says, when thou doest alms, this is how you should do it. You should do it so that you and God are the only ones who knows what you're doing. That thy left hand does not know what thy right hand is doing. Romans 8 and 12. We're talking about the gift of giving. You know, Christians have gifts. The gift of giving. It says, he that hath the gift of giving, let him do it in simplicity. Simplicity. Not complicated. It's only between you and God. Ain't nobody's business but that. It's interesting that in verse 4, he's not talking, he makes it very clear. He says, do it, thy alms may be done in secret. In secret. He's not saying kind of like in secret, or in secret. In other words, when you do it, do your very best to make sure that it's in secret. People may see, people may hear about things that you do. But as a Christian, we are obligated to give alms, to give to the poor. And if you want to do it quietly and without anybody knowing, there are lots of religious organizations that you can go to online and put in your credit card and give. And the only people who know are those organizations. And nobody needs to know. But who else knows? God knows. Because God says, what you do in secret, I see it in secret, but I'm going to reward you openly. Now, please don't make that your motivation to give alms. You shouldn't give alms in hopes that God's going to reward you. That's not right. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about giving because he has commanded. You are a child of his. You are a child of love. You have a commandment and you should do it. God loveth a cheerful giver. It's in the Bible. One of the things that I want you to take away from, and I want to get off of alms right now. Okay, did you get the message? You understand what you're supposed to do? Okay, I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm going to tell you that you're supposed to do it, but I'm not going to tell you to do it. But do you understand alms? The thing about alms and giving is that it's a personal action between you and God. Do you understand that? It's personal between you and God. And God sees it and he deals with it in that manner. The same thing can be said about prayer. That's right, we've jumped down to verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Now, we pray publicly as a church, in this church. This morning, did you see brothers praying publicly? Okay. On Tuesday nights, do we have brothers praying publicly? Okay, that's okay. That's okay. It's a church function. Okay, but the one thing I will warn you about that public prayer is that don't be like what God is talking about. When you pray and represent the church, when you stand up and pray representing the church, the last thing you should be thinking about is how do I look while I'm doing this prayer? How do I sound? am I religious enough? Am I speaking in brethrenese? No. If that's why you're doing, you might as well sit down and shut your mouth. When you represent God and his people, you pray for the people of God that they would be blessed and that he would bless us. But that's our public prayer. But this is not what Christ is talking about here. He's talking about personal prayer. And look what he says. He tells you what you're not supposed to do. You see, because in the old days, it was not uncommon for a priest to go out into the middle of the temple and raise his hands and pray. He's showing off. He's showing off. That was common for those days. Okay? God is telling us that when we pray, there are certain things that need to be done, and we need to cover that. And that thing is that it needs to be personal and private. You need a Christian. Again, I told you, I'm talking to Christians right now. If you're a Christian, you need to have a personal, private prayer life. Something that is just only between you and God. Okay? He says, don't do it out in public, you know? Okay, then he tells you how you go about it. He says, when thou prayest. And again, when thou prayest, which assumes that you do what? That you do pray. Okay, he didn't say if you pray. He said, when thou prayest, you enter into your closet. Now, you don't have to go into the closet. There's nobody home. You can just go into your bedroom. If there's nobody home, you can just stay in your house. Okay, but it's private. And the reason it needs to be private, because it takes down a lot of the trappings that interfere with your communication with God. See, when you're praying with just you and God, you can't show off, because God knows what's going on. You can't act big and bad and righteous in front of God, because God already knows you are the last thing from big and bad and righteous. You come to God and you bear your soul, and you don't have to worry about who's looking and who's watching or who's listening to what I say. So that when you have a serious problem that is eating away at you, and you can't, this problem is so serious that you can't really bring yourself, excuse me, to take it to another brother or sister, because that's how it's eating at you, you can present that problem to God, because you ain't telling them nothing new. He already knows. You can, whatever it is, I believe that I have a thorn in my side, like Paul. I don't know what Paul's thorn in the side was. I don't know. But I know I have one. I'm not going to tell you. It ain't none of your business. It's between me and God. But every time I am encountered with that thorn, I have to run to my closet. And I have to say, God, I need you. God, I need you. And he's never failed me yet. So, you can't do that out in public. You have to go into your closet and shut the door and pray to the Father in secret. In secret. Now, one of the things about that, and I'm not telling you what you should do, and I don't even know, because I don't know who got thorns. And some of you may not have any thorns. If that's the case, God bless you. But for those of you who have thorns, get in the closet and pray. Because this is how you work your way through Christian life. This is not hypocrisy. This is seeking the will of God. And this is how God becomes your friend. You know how you have a real good friend that you can tell almost anything? It's good to have friends like that. It's like I used to tell my friends, I'll do almost anything for you. Not anything, almost. There is a need for personal and private prayer life in a Christian's life. It has to get done. If it doesn't get done, you're halfway there. You're not getting it. First of all, you're not availing yourself of the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In you. In Christians, it believes in you. So that when you go into your closet with God, who else is in there with you? The Holy Spirit. Right? Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does. Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our thorns. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Most of us will not admit that. We feel like we know how to pray. But the Word of God says, no, you don't. The Word of God says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, the Spirit that indwells you, makes intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, he is talking God language. The Spirit is talking to God in a language, in a way that you can't understand. Because who knows you better than the Spirit? Why does the Spirit know you so well? Because he indwells. He's right there with you. Dealing tit for tat and step for step. He knows. And not only that, but it says, and he that searches the heart, which is the Spirit, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Who are the saints? We are. Did you know that someone is making intercession every time you pray? He's taking your prayers as rough, as incoherent, whatever wrong it is, he's taking those prayers and he's taking the sandpaper to those prayers. And he and when those prayers come up and he presents it to God, it is new, shiny, and it says exactly what you should have said to God. For the saints according to the will of God. So if you are praying in your closet, in the Spirit, in the will of God, you can't pray wrong. Did you hear that? Yes. You can't go wrong. Then he says, when you pray, forget about the vain repetitions and all that nonsense. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And please tell the Lord what the problem is. God, I have this problem, and it's eating at me, and I need your help. And leave it there. Because you don't have to say it over and over again to God. God is not deaf. God, when you tell God something, God got it. As a matter of fact, he had it before you told him. Isn't that what it says? It says, but not therefore lack unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask for them. Hallelujah. And what that, and it's what's really cool about that is, see, we think we're praying for what we need. God knows what we need. See, so the Holy Spirit says, I know you want that car, but what you need is a job. You got it? Okay. So you know, God say, you know, I know you want to get married. but you need to clean up your act. Okay? God, he knows what we need, not what we pray for. And God doesn't answer for what we pray for. He gives us for what we need. So you can't go wrong. Don't we have a wonderful God? He is wonderful. He is wonderful. What God is asking for in your prayer life is a truthful and honest relationship with him. Work on that. Because it's hard, you know, it's hard for us to be honest. It's hard for us to be honest with ourselves. So, you know, it's hard for us to be honest with God. But you can work on that. Now, I'm going to stop with the believers. Believers, the Lord has said to us this morning that we have a job to do. We should be giving alms. I don't know how. I'm not going to tell you how because it's supposed to be in secret. That's between you and God. But you're supposed to be doing it. And I don't care what you think your economic situation is. God will give you a way to provide for you to give your alms. Okay? It may not be much. It may not be much. But if you give it in the spirit of I'm doing what God has asked me to do, he'll take care of that. So we have to give alms. And we have to pray to God. We have to have an active personal prayer life. Okay, what does active personal prayer life mean? Once a day? Right? Some people say, I get up in the morning and I get down on my knees and I pray to God and then they never talk to God again for the rest of the day. No. I pray for parking spots. I pray for everything I can think of needing. When I realize that I need it, I say, Lord, I got a problem here. I need to take care of this. I got to tell you, I'm not 100%. You know, I don't always remember to do that. But shame on me because I'm losing out. Because God's going to take care of you. But what I'm saying to you is that as you give your alms and as you pray, you need to do it in a personal relationship with Christ. Now, if you are in this room and you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do neither one of those things because you haven't taken step one. God loves you. God loves you. The Bible says it. God has told me to tell you that he loves you. God has sent his son to die on the cross to show you that he loves you. God is standing this morning with his arms open wide, waiting for you to come to him because he loves you. And the decision is yours. The decision is yours. The brother that spoke yesterday afternoon, he made the point. God doesn't send anybody to hell. God does not want you to go to hell. As a matter of fact, God has such a big desire for you not to go to hell that he said, I'm going to make a way for you. And not only that, I'm going to make an easy way for you. Did you know that salvation is easy? Salvation is the easiest thing in the world. And God made it that way so that anybody can do it. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he did what he did for you, and take it. Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins in your place. Believe it and take that. Take that gift and run with it. That's all you have to do. And then you can develop a personal relationship with Christ. And you can go into those other things like prayer and asking him for help. You see. What is that? What is that saying? They say there's some people they pray. Their prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling. Okay, wouldn't you like to have your prayers go all the way to the top? To have God listen to what you're saying. That will not happen until you have Jesus Christ in your heart. It will not happen. So, as I'm closing out this morning, I will do a final review. Excuse me, I'm a former teacher. I can't help it. Alms in secret. Prayer in secret. You can even accept your salvation in secret, because that's between you and God. All you have to do is do it. Friends, thank you for your attention this morning. Saints, if you have a question about how you can become a child of God, how you can have the Lord Jesus Christ living in your life and in your heart, I will be here until at least 3 o'clock today, walking around. See me. I'll be more than happy to sit down with you and show you from God's word how you too can become a child of God. Thank you. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for his wonderful work of salvation, whereby we can come to you free of fear and praise you and honor you and give you glory. We thank you for your word. We can delve into your word and be led by your Holy Spirit because of the work of Jesus Christ. We can learn from you. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we would ask that as if there's anyone here who does not know you as Savior, that person would be interested and curious enough to look into Jesus Christ in their life. It is a necessity that is needed for every human being. So we thank you for your word, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.